Calvin wanted, for whatever reason, record this, so be fine. You know, you don't realize it until you get a chance to get up here how many things you can say, and you don't have time to say it. Today, I want to wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day. And that's a good day to set aside to for fathers to be represented and be thank you for your service as a father. And but what kind of example are you to your children? This actually ain't going to be necessarily a Father's Day message, even though it can be, because a father is very important to be an example to their family, to their children. But I'm going to ask you today, as individuals, if you stood before Jesus right now, and that's possible. I don't know when he's coming. You don't either. And if we stood right there before Jesus right now, how would you feel about the example that you personally set before the people around you? Now, you know, that's actually a pretty heavy question, because we don't think about our actions sometimes. We don't think about people looking and got their eye on us. And trust me, they do. You call yourself a Christian, and they know it. They're going to watch you. And that's okay. They should. We as Christians need to realize the importance of example. And that's what I'm going to talk about a little bit today, about our example. And like I say, you never know what to speak on because you got so many subjects. And you pray about it, and then it's like, I don't know how Calvin feels, but it's almost like God just opens the right thing to you. So I wanted to share with you some things. Hopefully it will help us all. The apostles gave us a pattern to live by. And that's why we hold on or try to hold on to the apostles' teaching. Because the apostles are part of our worship, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, prayers, the apostles' doctrine. These are things that God has put in place for his church to hold on to. That's the foundational things that we need to be holding on to as a church, the church. In Philippians here, Paul said this, the apostle, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern." And I do believe that's the apostle. They left us a picture of what we're to follow. For many, and here's the sad part though. Verse 18 says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame," and here's the problem, "who set their mind on earthly things." That's what we talked about this morning in the church at Laodicea, who was wealthy, they had their interests in the world, and the things of the world, and they became lukewarm. And they left Jesus outside knocking on the door of the church. Isn't that sad? But Paul's telling us here, he said, follow my example. Let me tell you, think about this. Are you ready to stand up and tell people today, look at me, I'm a Christian, will you follow my example? Now that's why maybe some don't put a sticker on the bumper. I love Jesus, and then you cut somebody off and cuss them out. See, we have to be careful because we want to make sure that the example that we set is for Christ is one that's going to edify not only him, but the body of Christ that we work with. There's nothing in the world any worse than someone say, oh, you go there to that place? I'll tell you. See, you don't want that idea here. You want to, people say, oh, yeah, I know those people down there. They're living for the Lord. They're doing good things for Jesus Christ. They hold up the name high, that kind of thing. And especially for us elders, we have to set that example. Jesus said it. Peter said it in chapter 5 of 1 Peter. Set the example for the flock. That's a responsibility that can be very heavy, okay? But we learn the apostles' doctrine naturally through the Word. We don't have no apostles today other than in Scripture. We have enough there to give us what we need to be the church. I like that. Y'all like that thing? Where did the apostles get their example to live by? Well, 1 Corinthians 11, 1 and 2, Paul went on to say again, imitate me just as I also imitate who? Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. The apostles sat at the feet of Jesus. They lived and walked with him for 3 years. He taught them. He showed them how to live it out, how to imitate him. But the first thing somebody says, oh, wait a minute. Paul didn't walk with the rest of the apostles. Ooh, that's not good. Where did he learn it? Well, I have to tell you, he got many revelations and many visions, he said, because Paul, after his conversion, went into went into Arabia for a while and spent time with God, I believe. But anyway, what they learned, what these apostles learned, they learned it directly from Jesus himself, along with the help of the Holy Spirit. So what we could trust what they say, we could bank on it, we could put our heart into it and believe it with all our heart, because what these apostles taught is our life. All right? Look at 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Said, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to what? The traditions which you were taught, whether by word or epistle. There are many traditions out here today, but I'm here to tell you not all of them are the apostles' traditions. We've got to make sure they are the ones that we hold to. If an apostle said it, you better believe it. And that's why we always quote Peter on the day of Pentecost. He was an apostle. He preached the first salvation message. And when he preached that message, he preached Jesus Christ. You can read Acts 2 if you want. He preached Jesus, that Jesus died. He rose from the grave. He went to heaven and sat by the right hand of the Father. And he told those people to repent, change their mind and their heart, the way of life, turn to God through Jesus, and be baptized for remission of sin and receive the Holy Spirit. That's salvation that the apostles give. That's where we want to be. So these traditions of the apostles and the things they did are very important to the church and how we live them out. Now, Paul wrote these four love letters here, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. He wrote these while he was in prison. Let me read it right here. Philippians 1:12 says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to the rest of that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul found himself in a prison, in jail. You know what he did? He began to write these letters. Because in some people's mind, what could he do? What could he do? See, God, I believe, had to slow him down so he could write these letters. But not only that, it tells you and I, when we think that we got problems going on in our life that we can't really, that really slow us down, or we can't be productive for Christ, that's not true. He could use us wherever we are. And let me give you a quick example of that. In an early church that I belonged to, a lady in Newcastle, when I went down to, I knew her well. In fact, I knew the preacher down there. I went down. She had cancer. And I knew the lady and her husband. I worked with her husband. The amazing thing about that lady was this. She was laying on her deathbed dying. She had cancer. They told her she was dying. And she would ask people who she knew, relatives, to come, and she'd witness to them while she was on her deathbed. And she won, I know, 3 souls, and I don't know how many more, in that situation. Because sometimes we think God can't use us where we are, but that's not true. We have to make sure that we take the most of every opportunity. That's what Paul said. He said, I take the most of every opportunity. You got opportunities out there every day. I do too. Do you use them? Do you speak up? Look. His chains, he said, are much more bold to speak the word. Those who knew Paul was in prison, they knew he had been witness to the prisoners, because many in the palace guard had heard. It gave them boldness to speak. We should have boldness to speak up for Christ, because the time is short, the opportunity is there, and it's up to us if we take it. We're going to be held responsible, by the way. I believe evangelistic church starts out there. We gotta get people in here. But the Word of God wasn't chained. I don't know, it's a picture up there of the Word of God. See, Paul was chained, but the Word wasn't. It got out. We need to get it out. And that's important. Look at Paul's life. He said, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in toil, in sleepless, often in hunger, and thirst, and fasting, often in cold, and naked, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern was the church. Man, what a life. What a life. Paul gave an example here of an evangelistic life, someone who was out beating a brush. He was in the thicket. He was witnessing and telling people about Christ, and boy, it cost him. But you know what? Look right here. 2 Corinthians 1:8-9 says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant." Paul writing again. Why did he give us all that? Why did he do that? He tells us right here. "Brethren, of our troubles which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despised even of life. Yes, we had sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead." Paul said, yeah. Times were rough for Paul. Sometimes they're rough for us. Maybe nothing like this. Maybe nothing like this. But there are things that come into our life that we struggle with, that we have to fight. Might be sickness, might be other things. But some of them are brought on by ourselves. But I'm talking about what comes on you and I, what comes on us because of the gospel. Are we feeling any punch from because we preach the gospel or witnessing? Because everybody has problems, even the unsaved, just normal stuff. But how many problems do we really get because of our witness? You know what the problem here is with Paul, though? You know what's behind the scenes here? The devil. He wanted to take Paul out. He tried every way he could to get him killed. Paul was too much of an anchor for Christ. And he wanted to, he's got to get rid of him. He's creating too many problems. Of course, God protected him to a point. He did die eventually. But he had to get his mission done first. Some examples, I want to give you some examples that may help you and I to get through the world that we live in. How did Paul overcome all of this stuff? All of these things that come into his life? You know, I really think sometimes that we're not ready for the world that we're looking at. Because we hadn't figured it out yet. Because we hadn't figured out, am I getting persecuted because the devil wants to take me out? Am I getting persecuted because of my own problem that I made? But let me tell you, the devil is working hard. He's gonna trying to take this church down, just like he's trying to take you down. Because he doesn't want us to overcome, but let's look at some things that Paul did to keep him where he was. I don't know if you see that or not, but Paul was a praying man. Paul was a praying man. If we don't pray, we're not going to make it. I'm going to tell you that right now. Prayer, you better have a prayer life. Because that's what keeps that devil at distance. He hates prayer. He hates it with a passion. Don't pray. And he loves that, all right? But look at this. Even in his worst of times, all that he went through, he always found a way to praise, to rejoice. Look, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. You know how he could rejoice? Look at that next verse. The Lord is at hand. We really believe the Lord is could show up right now? He could. Be ready for that. Paul was, and he said, gosh, I can rejoice. I don't care what's going on in my life. I'm going to rejoice because I know that he's right around the corner. And I know my hope. Be anxious for nothing. Are you anxious? How do we do this? How do we live this out? How do you not be anxious? Let me tell you, it's hard not to be anxious. It really is. Because things get in our crawl. I get anxious at a stoplight. But I let things bother me that's ridiculous. But it says here, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, there it is again. Susan said, look, quit worrying about the stoplight. It's red. Think about the blood of Jesus and pray. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, don't close your eyes. But you pray with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard what? Your heart and your mind. You see, the devil is toying with your mind right now. He's working with you. You're sitting there thinking, So, I don't know what's going on in your mind. I know what's going on in mine, but we fool ourselves sometimes because the devil just twists us up, confuses us. We don't know if we're coming and going. Sometimes I wear my hat both ways because I don't know which way I'm going. But the thing of it is, we got to realize that if we don't stay prayed up, read up, read up, keep our mind clear. Because the devil's right now saying, what can I do to okay? Let me see. It's got to be something I could do. I watch her all the time. I know what it takes. Yeah, I hope you don't mind me using you, Peggy. I could use any one of you. That's what the devil does. He knows us. He watches us. And he knows what's going to take and what it will take. Get that mind messed up. We got to stay in the Word. We got to stay prayed up. Because God said, I'll guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You got to stay prayed up. You got to stay in the Word. I can't get people in the Word like I like to. The Word is so important, man. It builds you. It gives you the grit, the strength to keep on keeping on. I thank God for those who are interested enough to be here. I thank God for those who are interested in being Bible studies. If we could just put, here's another thing. Paul counted the cost, even if he had to die for the gospel. You know, Jesus tells us that we need to count the cost. Have you counted the cost? You know what? If I step out here, I'll use this illustration. Here I am, an old, unsaved person, and I got a choice to make. Now, if I step up here in Christ, don't get fooled. That's when the devil's going to start working on you. When Jesus come out of the baptistry, the devil hit him full force. Took him out in the wilderness and tempted him in every way that could be tempted. That should be a sign to us. But that shouldn't scare us. Because that way we know we're on God's side. You remember when Paul cast out a demon? This girl that was following along who supposedly cast out demons. The devil came to Paul and told the demon, the demon came to Paul and says, Paul I know, but I don't know who this is. Talking about the one falsely casting them out. So, if the devil knows you, that's a good thing. You said, what? Yeah. Because he knows you really working for Christ and you're a Christian. He's going to work to take you down. Now, is this a negative message? I said, you look at it any way you want to. I'm telling you the truth. I've seen too many walk out the door. I've seen too many lose it. I've seen too many cave in. I do not want any one of you in this place right now to ever walk away from Christ. And this old teaching that you once saved, always saved, nothing but a lie. But I'm trying to give us a way to survive this thing is through Christ. Hold on to him. Paul went on to Philippians again here. Says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and supplication of the Spirit of Christ Jesus, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing shall I be ashamed, but with all boldness and always, so now also in Christ, will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. See, Paul knew, even if he died, that would be a gain. Do me a favor. All y'all, if I die before y'all do, and y'all still here, and we all together in this, if I die today, I want to tell you right now, do not cry for me. I mean, if you want to shed a tear, one, two, that's okay. What I'm saying is, we're going on to better. Do we really believe that, though? Because I don't know if we really believe that, because some of the situations I've ran into at a funeral of a Christian has been sad for me, because I know we can weep, so, and it's nothing wrong with that, really, but we act as though sometimes that's it. So sad, too bad. No. We're looking forward to hope and something better. But Paul knew that physically, if he died, that he had better coming. But here's the death I want to show you. There's another death Paul had to die. Listen to this. This is what Jesus said. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You know what that says? And I believe this is one of the biggest problems in the church today. And I'm speaking to myself, so don't. We don't want to die to old self. See, until we're going to become the disciples that Jesus would have us be. But that's not going to happen until we die to self. Because we got a cross to bear. Y'all know that? Now, Jesus said it another place, not here. He said it is a cross that we bear daily, every day. Now, that cross that we're to bear is not to come and sit in a pew. And don't take this wrong, but I'm trying to get something said here for an hour or maybe two, a week. That's not the cross that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about a lifestyle. When we go out of this building today, out there is where the cross bearing's at. It's easy to be a Christian here. I can be a Christian here real easy. But it's out there. It's where it all takes place. There's where the rubber meets the road, the old saying. But Paul knew, and he did. He said, I had to put down that old life and take on Christ's life. His way of life. Put down my will, take his will. That's not an easy thing to do. Now, we think it's all about the kids. I'll use Lauren a minute. In school, to take her cross and bear it at school, you don't tell me it won't be some repercussion. And we always go to the kids. But let me tell you, how about us? We got crosses to bear. And this is Paul said, I got to put to death that old man in order to live the true man. See, how we think can make us or break us. You know, the Pentecostal people, you know, they all about what you are, what you believe you are. I know they got a lot of things wrong, but I'll tell you one thing, a lot of it's right. Scripture says this, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, this is how we ought to think. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report if there is any virtue, if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned, and this is the things he's talking about, the things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will give you, will be with you. Do we think religiously here? Only? How do we think when we get out there? Because that world out there is going to take our minds, I done told you this, because I've experienced it, I know. And the world out there is going to cave in on us, of course, with the devil's help. Listen to certain music, listen to jokes, listen to the TV, and our minds start going here and yonder and everywhere, and first thing you know, we're not thinking like this. We're not thinking like that. So we got to come back to the drawing board. We got to come back. We got to get our minds to where we could keep them somewhat in a place to keep our sanity. Did y'all hear about this? I know y'all heard about this. This woman had two of her children. And I think it happened, I'm not sure where it was. Y'all might know. She had two of her children, and some guy got in a road rage with her. Somehow or another, somehow. She's taking her two kids and going to the dentist. He followed her. Followed her to the dentist office. She gets out of the car. He gets out, shot her dead. Shot one of her children dead. That wasn't enough. He left and come back and shot another. This is the kind of stuff that the world's dumping in, putting in our face all the time, this kind of thing. How do you keep your sanity in this kind of thing? You got to stay in the Word of God. You got to pray. You got to do those things like Paul said, how we think. Keep thinking and meditating on the positive things, Scripture. Scripture. That's why I don't get out of Scripture, because if I got out of Scripture, I'd go crazy. I'd go mad. I'm serious. I'd be the craziest person you ever seen around here. Because I know me. I'd be the first one to leave. But I know better. The Scriptures keep you anchored. Look at that dude up there. See there? He's all messed up. Learning to lean on Jesus. That's what we got to do. Philippians 4:11 says, not that I speak in regards to need, Paul said, for I have learned. He had to learn it. You don't think we do? I have to learn in whatever state I am to be content. So if he was down in North Carolina, he'd be just as content if he was in Virginia. That's not what that's saying. Bad joke. Okay. He said, whatever the circumstances, he said, I'll be content. Now, boy, that's a good place to get. I know how to be abased. I know how to bow. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But that's a learned thing. We got to learn that. This walk ain't something that I come out of the baptistry and there it is. No. This is a learned thing. Nothing like experience, is it? And God will teach you through the Word, but He also will do it through experiences that come in your life. Don't forget our calling. Don't forget your calling. Philippians, Paul went on to say again, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also suffer for him, for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here in me. We like the good side of Christianity, but the bad side, and when I say bad side, it's not really bad. Because until we start feeling a punch somewhat, we're not really growing. Strength. God gives us strength through problems. He uses our struggles to mature us. Especially if we're preaching the gospel. When people ignore you, or I was on the porch one time knocking on the door. In fact, Susan was with me, and we're knocking on the door. Guy come to the door, and we said, "We from the Church of Christ." Down. What? Get off my porch. I don't want nothing to do with you. And, you know, we got on off real quick. But thing of it is, not everybody's going to accept you. That's okay. That's their problem. See, the devil, he's after us too. I told you that. He wants to pile around with you. He may be piling around with you. I don't know. Be careful. Be careful, because he'll take you down. Be cautious. Paul said, "I press on." Now, this is the story this is the end of the story here that I want you to see. Paul hadn't arrived yet. All of this is a way of life that we're looking at, is a continually growing struggle for Christians. Just a way that God's trying to show us if we're really faithful or not. He already knows. Show us if we're faithful. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfect, but I press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reach forward to the things which are ahead. I press toward the goal, the prize of the upward call of God. You know, right here's a problem. You know how many people really can't forget their past? And because their past, not forgiving themselves of their past, they will not accept Christ because they think they're too bad. Well, God can't forgive me. I've done too much. Yeah, he can. Yeah, he'll forgive you. Can you forgive yourself? And the only way you're going to be able to do that is if you really believe what God says. If he says he's forgiven you, he's forgiven you. But I'm here to tell you, if he hasn't forgiven you, you're not forgiven. And we got to make sure that we're on the forgiving side. We can't carry our past with us and get beyond where we are. I know a lady right now that can't get her life together because of her sin that she's passed, that she lived in. He said, "I'm too far gone." You ain't too far gone. If the Apostle Paul said, "I was the chief of sinners, and God forgave me," he'll forgive you. There's not a sin, none, that you've done that God can't forgive you for. Except one. Rejection of him. Can't forgive you for that. That's blaspheming the spirit. You can't do that and get by with it. We're going to close. We're going to sing another song, but If you're not, oh, you want to, I'm done. Go ahead.